Wall Street and biotechnology companies have been very excited about this idea. And what essentially it is trying to hack the cells in the body in order to make them into drug factories.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Today, June 12th, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. I have a really good show for you today. It's actually going to be a shorter one again, focused on some of the most important things happening. I had a long show planned, like I said yesterday, some people in Discord, but I had to push some of this stuff off that was more of just important stuff, but updating on what's been going on in different realms of this discussion. But this is really big news, each and every part of it, and it's going to be jam-packed today. I'm going to be interviewing Spiro after this today. We bumped it over to today, and that's going to be in a couple hours, I believe, and we will be talking about some interesting stuff that'll be recorded today, and it'll be coming to you soon. But let's get right into it, because there's a lot to talk about today that's very, very important. And this centers around the conversation of a few important things. And this is obviously in the vaccine is obviously, in my opinion, the most prominent battle that's happening right now in regard to truth and information. We're going to talk about how the vaccine is showing itself and really the technology around it, behind it, the intentions behind it to be dangerous, to be not just dangerous, but deceptively misguided, misrepresented by the people that are telling us it's safe and effective. And we have the first postmortem study of a patient after being injected with this experimental unapproved injection. And you'll be unsurprised to find out what it says right in the title. By the way, the title's funky because it's a weird way to write that: postmortem COVID jab. But you get the point. Postmortem study in a patient vaccinated with the SARS-CoV-2 COVID-19 injection. And it was in they found viral RNA in basically every organ in the body. It's horrifying. We're also going to talk about an emergency meeting being convened about the thing that's not supposed to be happening. And of course, a week later, even though we're like, we're concerned and have an emergency meeting about myocarditis in children next week. Because that makes sense, right? Danger, but keep taking it. We'll study it in a week, even though it's an emergency and we're concerned. Emergency next week, right? Just shows you how flimsy these terms are that they use, and it works for them. But we're also going to talk about Pakistan blocking SIM cards of unvaccinated people, beginning this direction that we all know this was going to go, as well as a good discussion to wrap this up of natural immunity. Not just like we talked about before, but now that even the mainstream is telling you this, the WHO is telling you this, but that essentially that this, you don't need the injection at all if you've had this in the past, which, by the way, a majority of this country has, and most have, based on what we're being told. Understand, I'm not leaning into the mainstream narrative. I'm simply saying in their narrative, they're telling us that, and you've seen this before. So let's start off, first of all, with a quick shout out for a shout out that I thought was a really great. I'm very proud to say that people like James Evan Pilato and James Corbett are appreciate my work and are willing to point it out. And it makes me feel good about what I've done, because I respect these two more than most in this field today, probably more than anybody. And I just think it's a really great thing to see. They gave me a big shout out. T-Lab, a big shout out. Derek Bros, a big shout out about the work that he did on the recent article in the Houston Nurses, and as well as the work that I'm doing specifically on the T-Lab pirate streams. It's a great clip I cut so you guys can hear just the end part. James Corbett is hilarious in this end part, calling out YouTube. It's fantastic. Great video, all said and done as well. They always do a great job of New World Next Week. And as I said, great shout out. Talking about T-Live Pirate Streams, which, by the way, if you're watching on YouTube, first question, why are you there? Get with the program. Go anywhere else but YouTube, because they don't care about you or what you want to see or what I care about or the truth. But I'm still doing T-Lab Pirate Streams, which is why we're on this channel. And it's been on this channel for a few times in a row now. I'm kind of battling whether I want to keep doing it until they censor it and move to the next one, or jump all around the place, because I don't want everybody out there to keep feeling comfortable with YouTube. I want you to go to Super U. I want you to go to Odyssey, Rockfin, anywhere else. But what I'm doing is still punching this through so people on the lost realm of YouTube can see it. If the ones that don't know we exist will stumble across this on a channel that they don't know to censor and just get a brief glimpse of the truth. And as James Evan Pilato puts it, I'm bobbing and weaving away from the YouTube censorship. And of course, they talk about how YouTube has literally broken itself, which is something you've been hearing me say this whole time. YouTube, you broke it. You're broken. You broke yourself. Trying to, and James Corbett goes into the exact same point. I love it. It's fantastic. And I want you guys to check it out. On that note, going forward into the first quick little point, just to show you this is happening. I also saw this on New World Next Week. This is actually incredible. We've talked about how this is, this clear psyop is stepping in the direction of creating the cyber pandemic they told you was going to happen, right? Which is obviously then being tied in, all right, which I keep telling you will be tied in with COVID-19. Right? How many times have I been saying this? The cyber hack and all this different stuff, the cyber pandemic was never meant to be a euphemism or an analogy. It is literally, in my opinion, always been about the whole thing coming together. And then don't forget, they're going to tie back the cyber attacks to the bad guy foreign state that happens to be working with white supremacy here. And it all comes together. And they've already laid this out for you. It's not a secret. But guess what? As they pointed out, the Colonial Pipeline was fine, but its owner shut it down to make sure they'd get paid properly. So they made this huge discussion about how it was hacked and it shut down and look what it's doing to infrastructure. We got to protect you from this stuff. Well, guess what? It didn't actually get shut. They shut it down. Isn't that an interesting point? Do you think the mainstream media knew that? Didn't care? Didn't do their job well enough? You pick. Either way, they failed you. Reality is they're paid to fail you, but that's a different discussion. But that's the reality, and it's pretty ridiculous, isn't it? Now, here's the crossover that I have been telling you was going to happen. And I also saw this in New World Next Week, because they do a great job of bringing a lot of good things to the forefront that people haven't seen. Cyber attacks on meat plants? No. Hospitals? No. COVID-19 vaccine supply chain? What do you know? Literally, like, it's right out of my mouth. Now, yes, people have pointed this, or, you know, there's not been a mainstream platform that has been, this will happen. It's going to come and they will attack this. But they've insinuated the security risks of what may happen during the pandemic, right? And I keep telling you, well, this is what it's going to be. That was my opinion, and here it's coming to pass. They're going, look, they're going to do this. IBM is saying their cyber attacks are going to happen on this, the supply chain, and it brings it all together. It's popping up everywhere. Hackers targeted COVID-19 supply chain. It's happening now, right? It's going to happen. It might happen. Now they're saying it just happened. Big shock, right? It's almost like they told you exactly what's going to happen, and then it exactly happened just like that. You know, this is very expedited today. It used to be where they would do this, and then like a few years later, it would trickle out. You'd be like, oh, they told you. And they go look back and they go, oh, those were think tanks. Now the think tanks are like, this is going to happen someday in the future. And 3 days later, it happens, right? It's pretty silly, but they're in an expedited timetable here. It's obvious with the ham-fisted nature of all of COVID-19. But this is where it's been going. I've been predicting this COVID cyber attack convergence from the beginning, as well as the inclusion of a bio cyber attack, and which will likely be linked to some foreign bad guy, and then from there to the boogeyman of white supremacy. This is a psyop false flag. In my opinion, based on the evidence, do your due diligence. Listen to what Corbett had to say. Look at the information. It's obvious this is leading to your enslavement, guys. Which brings us to the first most important part about the COVID-19 narrative continuing to fall apart in front of us. From the International Journal of Infectious Diseases, right? So this is something that if it had said what they liked, it would be all over. But of course, when it says something they don't like, they keep it from your view. First case of postmortem study in a patient vaccinated against SARS-CoV-2. Now, what would you think before we even look into this, what might be shown here? Right? What are the thoughts we might think? Well, we've heard about the blood stuff. We've heard about the spike protein creating the coagulation problems, creating thrombosis and thrombocytopenia and some blood clots. And so you'd think you would see all this kind of stuff, right? Well, what's interesting is they find very specific things that suggest that not only is this going all around your body, exactly like the other scientific studies have found, but that they one very important part, they clearly discuss in their opinion that the bodies they're looking in have no indication whatsoever that COVID-19 is even playing a part, because you know they're going to try to say, well, this was probably COVID-19 long haul, which then, of course, ridiculously suggests the vaccine didn't stop it, which they don't want to talk about in the other part of the conversation. But the point is, they say they didn't find it at all. Institute of Pathology, University Hospital, OWL of the University of Bielefeld, Campus Lip, Germany, Department of Internal Medicine, Gastroenterology and Infectious Medicine. I mean, point being, these are experts, doctors, physicians, people with credentials. Institute of Pathology, as always, just beating the dead horse here, guys, that these are not anti-science, fake news, conspiracy theorists, but they will be called that the moment that they say something that challenges the narrative, regardless of their credentials, because that perfectly lines up, right? Are they experts because of their credentials? Or are they experts because they say the right things? I think that's very apparent today, based on how this is going. received February 25th. So despite the fact that it was June 2021, this has been known since February 25th. Just think about how much that means in regard to the dangers this is finding. Well, highlights. We report on a patient with a single dose, not two, but one dose of a vaccine. And this is specifically the biotech Pfizer vaccine, of course, the one that's clearly becoming showing itself to be the most alarmingly dangerous. And we'll get into that a little bit more in a second. But we report on a patient with a single dose. That's really important. By postmortem molecular mapping, they found viral RNA in nearly all organs examined. And we're talking about the mRNA, the messenger RNA that is delivering the instructions with the lipid nanoparticles with the instructions for the spike protein. Right. So first of all, this should not be happening. And that's why this is important. Secondly, this has a big, big indication it points to a very large problem about the spike protein as well. And what else is finding its way all around your body? But they're assuring us repeatedly on the media that this stays only in the injection site. But multiple scientific studies have unequivocally found that to be false. And they just keep saying the same lie. Is that because they don't see the new science, because they don't care about it? Again, it's always your choice to look into and figure out for yourself, but they're lying to you or being so bad at their job that they don't know they're lying to you. However, says, we did not, and this is the important part, observe any characteristic morphological features of COVID-19, meaning ways that the COVID-19 can alter, you know, what the side of what happens to your body after the fact of having COVID-19. The characteristics are how your body's changed from it, sort of thing. We did not observe any of those features of COVID-19, implying, not proving, in their studies, implying, based on the data that they found, that there was no COVID-19 responsible for what they saw. Now, it says a previously symptomless 86-year-old man, this is the person we're talking about, received the first dose of the biotech mRNA COVID-19 injection. He died 4 weeks later from acute renal and respiratory failure. So too have many other people, which they've dismissed as not related. Although he did not present with any COVID-19 specific symptoms, here's the interesting part and very telling, he tested positive for SARS-CoV-2 before he died. Now, what's interesting is that their study found, shocking, no sign of that. So is that because he had it and there was nothing that happened to him, which makes no sense, or that it was a PCR test that said he was positive when he wasn't? What do you think the logical example or the logical step is here when we have a very high false positive rate and they did a study and found no signs of this? I think it's pretty clear what we're seeing here. So on a side note, it shows you once again, the PCR test is a faulty, meaningless tool in the context of COVID-19. This is something I recommend you dig through for yourself because of how important this is and what it's showing you. But come to your own conclusions. As always, research it, think about it, and look at what they're really telling you, that this man died 4 weeks after having one of these injections from some renal and respiratory failure and arguably no other reason other than being old that it should have happened. And the idea is that he did not have signs of COVID-19 and had RNA, viral RNA, in nearly every organ in his body. No one's going to try to explain this. They're going to push this off to the side, and this won't be discussed. But this begins to dig into the reality that this thing is causing problems in your body that no one's talking about. And all they can do is point back to the original narrative. It stays in your arm, and it's not, and the side effects are good, and on and on and on. And that's simply false. Not, I think, not possibly, false. That is false. And the evidence is clear. The degree to which we're talking about this is always the point I discuss that is something for you to think into for yourself. Next point, the evidence-based medicine consultancy put out a compilation. Here's the actual document of all the data, which, by the way, you can look at for yourself. And this is what I always say, regardless of what you may think of this outlet or, you know, the play. I'm not very familiar with it. But you know why it doesn't matter? Because you can check all of the information for yourself and go through all of the data and check it and find that it's accurate and realize that all it's really doing is giving their opinion around the data and telling us why we think this data means what it showed. What, by the way, it very obviously means that there's a problem right now and no one's addressing it other than honest people out there that realize they're going to be attacked and lose things for doing so. So most people don't. I think that's pretty obvious right now. But let's go through some of the major points of this. As they say, in addition, urgent, independent expert evaluation. Now, in addition, is they just simply go over all the, they start off by saying how they did this. And we go through all the data. This is discussing the MHRA yellow card system. What was it again? Does it list it right there? I always blank on, oh, right here. Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency in the UK. We've talked about them before. This is the group that ended up letting out the cat out of the bag about how this is based on genetic code on a computer. The same thing that happened from China to Moderna. This is an independent researcher got a FOIA request and got them to say this in an email where this is not the case. They do not have any actual material, right? This is very important to the discussion of the fact that it hasn't been isolated based on all information that we can see, or they're hiding what they found when they did. That's one of the two options that I can see. There's a lot of this. But anyway, the point going forward is that they're telling you how they did it. They rolled it out in the UK and what they found. And they go over a lot. And all of this you can look into for yourself. One of the things I find very telling is that they discuss how antibody-dependent enhancement has been reported a lot. Oh, you mean that thing that everyone, the fact checkers, say is non-existent because there's no reports of science about it, despite the scientific study that says they found it significantly, and all these reports in the system that's made so they can report those things? Weird. They must have just missed it all, right? I'm going to make fun of that again in a second, but it just kills me how obvious that is. But, and again, I'm not even saying I can prove that's happening. I'm just simply saying, and by the way, the science is what we use to prove those things. So I would say that's a pretty fair argument, but simply that they claim there's zero evidence for it. All of this is evidence, whether verified or not. They want you to think that's fake news. There's not even reports of it, and they're lying to you, or they don't know, which is even worse. But it goes on about immune system adverse drug reactions, and list them all off, all these different things, neurological problems. But at the bottom, this is where it gets into what they have to say about it. In addition, urgent independent expert evaluation and discussion is required to assess whether the novel vaccines may be causing gene mutations among recipients, as suggested by the occurrence of extremely rare genetic disorders. They list a bunch of them off. Now, here is the outlet for you to look at for yourself. Oh, here, this is what I forgot I was going to give you the about real quick. The evidence-based medicine consultancy limited, I believe, is an independent medical research company that makes meaningful contributions to the quality of healthcare globally through rigorous research and innovative healthcare research methodology. We conduct original research and provide research support to national and international health organizations, research teams, healthcare professionals, service users with the best possible evidence to inform healthcare decision-making. And that's the gist of it, you know, and you can look into this for yourself. The real point is that all the data is there regardless, and you can look into it for yourself. Now it says, are these ADRs, the issues they're discussing occurring in babies, the adverse events, I think it's adverse reactions or, let me make sure. Yeah. Adverse. It's just in UK, it's different. Adverse drug reactions. That's what I thought. Are they occurring in babies of vaccinated pregnant women? Well, by the way, we've seen that report on Bayer's, and we've seen reports of that in general, or spuriously among vaccinated adults. This question needs urgent attention, right? Exactly. Because all they can say is that's not happening. There's no proof of it. Well, there's lots of evidence that you're saying you haven't verified. So are you just letting it pile up and pretending it's not there? Yes. And therefore saying it's not, it doesn't exist because you have yet to see it. That's the most dishonest thing I can even think about. They're knowingly saying it's not there while there's something there. And this is them meanwhile pretending like it must be all fake because anti-vaxxers. That is kind of like the general discussion they have. That's probably a bunch of fake people saying things. Probably. Oh, probably. That's great. So we're just going to let it, we're going to assume, even though it's 20% of the entire database right now, and Harvard and HHS have told us that it's only 1% of the total in any given point. Of course, this question needs to be urgently answered, and no one's even trying to ask the question but us. And all the agencies that have the stated mandate of keeping you safe are yelling at us and telling us we're crazy and acting like those unverified things don't count because they've yet to verify them. As pharmacovigilance data are known to be substantially underreported, we recommend that MHRA urgently publicize these adverse event data and assist people with their adverse event reporting to facilitate full elucidation and clarification of the extent of the problem, right? Even if these are unverified, you knowing that they're being reported is actually considered informed consent. There's plenty of reasons that you should know what other people have, what they're saying they've experienced, what they have experienced. I mean, there's a lot of this is being hidden from you. That's crazy. Like on its face, that is very dishonest. And especially, again, let's just say they have researched everything and disproven it all. I would still feel like that's dishonest, but that's a little different. This is unverified, so that means it could or could not be true. It's in the middle, and yet they're still keeping it from your view. because it creates vaccine hesitancy. True or false? That's all that matters to them. And it goes on to say, the MHRA now has more than enough evidence on the yellow card system to declare the vaccine COVID-19 vaccines unsafe for use in humans. As the mechanism for harms from the vaccines appears to be similar to COVID-19 itself, that's interesting because, of course, we know that because we're dealing with the same catalyst, in my opinion, the spike protein, and then adding in nanoparticles that add to seem to just exemplify all the problems or increase all the problems, right? The inflammation and everything else we talked about, condensing in your reproductive organs, weird, right? It's just all, I've gone over all this in specific shows about nanoparticles, that their information has shown, their science has shown this is dangerous, and we need to find out how this cannot be. That was like last year. Nope, didn't happen. We just started using it, knowing just like 5G and everything else. The big question, you know, have we studied 5G? Do we have any long-lasting studies about the safety? No one answers. Oh, I guess we're just flying blind here then. That was Senator Blumenthal. Still haven't. No one cares. So we can openly discuss how we haven't done long-term safety trials in 5G, but yet it's already rolling out because that's how our government operates. There are at least three urgent questions that need to be answered by the MHRA. How many people have died within 28 days of vaccination? How many people have been hospitalized within 28 days of vaccination? How many people have been disabled by the vaccination? And now this is just a starting point, because remember, this goes way past just 28 days. And that's what we're beginning to see very clearly. And it goes on to say, we are sharing this preliminary report due to the urgent need to communicate information that should lead to the end of the vaccination rollout while a full investigation is conducted. According to the recent paper by Senef and Nye, potential acute and long-term pathologies include pathogenic priming, multi-system inflammatory disease and autoimmunity, allergic reactions and anaphylaxis, antibody-dependent enhancement, activation of latent viral infections. Now, all this is based on reports, guys. They're not making this up. These are reports that have been given. Yes, they have yet to be verified, and that's a choice by the government. They are being reported by people that are struggling, including antibody-dependent enhancement. Activation of latent viral infections. That's interesting. Neurodegeneration and prion's disease. We've talked about all of this. Emergence of novel variants of SARS-CoV-2. This is, again, the suggestion and the argument based on the data that the vaccine itself is the thing producing the possible variants. Plenty of very, very highly credentialed people have made this valid argument based on the scientific studies they've done. Integration of the spike protein gene into the human DNA. That's been proven. Right? I mean, this is specifically because of how this stuff can. Nanoparticles, specifically. The study we showed you from the science, from their own outlet, they're telling you that nanoparticles themselves can alter the DNA. But regarding specifically the spike protein, this has been coming out from multiple scientific studies. Now, I don't even like using the word proven, I swear, because it seems like there's always something that can change. But the reality is there's a lot of evidence to support that. That's probably the fairest way to always say that. Yet no one talks about it except us. Us being independent media. An independent halt to the vaccination program is required whilst a full and independent safety analysis is undertaken to investigate the full extent of the harms, which the UK yellow card data suggest include thromboembolism. Oh, okay. So that's different. I thought I was just having a hard time pronouncing it. Thromboembolism is a little more specific. Multi-system inflammatory disease. So you mean MISC, MISA? Oh, weird. It's like they're trying to blame that on COVID-19, right? Immune suppression, autoimmunity, anaphylaxis, as well as antibody-dependent enhancement. The existing yellow card data covering just under a five-month period indicate that the extent of morbidity and mortality associated with COVID-19 vaccines is unprecedented. That is an obvious understatement, guys. And this is only a five-month period they're using. That's incredible. But it's just another group doing their due diligence over the data and telling you what they think based on the evidence. Look into it for yourself. The reality is this is a lot. And there's a lot of people doing this. More than you could possibly imagine right now. There are experts all around the world that are screaming about how you're being deceived, and they just don't want you to see it. Now, I just did this show the other day about the fact checkers and antibody-dependent enhancement, showing you the very study. Oh, that's why I did this. I want to point this out. I'm getting a little concerned, by the way, just a quick side note. I don't know whether it's something on my end or I find it hard to believe that my dedicated server is somehow compromised, but I 100% yesterday, beyond a shadow of a doubt, added these links. I bet you some of you even saw it. That was the first thing that I did, 100%. And I came up today to copy this down part, which I always do to bring on to the next article, and it says they're not there. which is really frustrating me because I already deleted them all. And I only do that once I'm sure they're in there. Now, what I'm going to have to do, and I will do this, is painstakingly watch this and go through every single link I see and find it and put it in here for you. Because that's the only reason they're not there yet. And it bothers me. Now, who knows? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I somehow did something I've never done before, even though it's a routine I do every day, and just didn't do it, I guess, and thought I did. Certainly possible. But I'm very suspicious today of weird things like this happening, and I've been noticing a lot of it. Anyway, the point is, don't worry. The links will be coming. The antibody, this link is, I'll include it in this show as well. I talk about it all the time. Informed consent disclosure to vaccine trial subjects of risk of COVID-19 vaccines, worsening clinical disease, and talks about the specific and significant risk of antibody-dependent enhancement back in December, October of 2020. Significant, specific, very clear, very obviously there. And all the fact checkers are like, that's fake news. There's no evidence for it at all. It's just embarrassing. But I wanted to make sure you know the links were coming, and I apologize about that. Jumping over into the next big discussion here, CDC to convene emergency meeting on 226 reports of heart inflammation after COVID vaccine in people under 30, the people with literally zero risk for the most part. Under 25, according to the infection fatality rate meta-analysis of 113 studies on that exact thing, found that 25 year and under, 0.01% risk. 0.01%. And yet these people are now having heart inflammation, which is, could be very serious, potentially deadly. The reality is that you can argue that you have the choice. That's always fair. I'm not telling people they don't have the opportunity to do that or the right to do it. I would tell you shouldn't, pretty much by and large, as far as I'm concerned. Which is obviously the different from their spot, right? You should have the choice. But the reality is, if you knew the full information, if you knew the full risk analysis, risk-benefit analysis, you wouldn't be doing it if you were under 50 and healthy. Arguably, probably not at all, if you understood everything that I see about this thing. But the point is, this is a big deal. They're forcing this on children, despite the fact they don't need it, and causing them more harm. And now the CDC is convening an emergency meeting next week. Not a joke. The Centers for Disease Control announced Thursday it will convene an emergency meeting and its advisors on June 18th to discuss higher than expected reports of heart inflammation following doses of Pfizer and Moderna. Higher than expected. That's exactly what CNN, also in case you only trust mainstream media, which I'm shocked that you would even think that. But here they say the same thing. Higher than expected, right? Which puts it at a very important point, statistically significant. And only the mRNA ones we're talking about here, guys. A total of 475 cases of myocarditis and pericarditis were recorded in patients 30 and younger. The CDC identified 226 reports that might meet the agency's working case definition of myocarditis and pericarditis following the shots, the agency disclosed Thursday during an FDA hearing. Dr. Tom Shimabukuro, deputy director of the CDC's Immunization Safety Office, and during Thursday's meeting, said during Thursday's meeting, there had been a higher than expected number of cases. This is a very open stated concept among many people recently vaccinated after their second dose of mRNA. A search in the CDC's vaccine adverse events reporting system revealed actually 900 cases of pericarditis and myocarditis reported in the U.S. among all age groups following COVID vaccination. This is only between December 14, 2020 and June 4, 2021. Of the 900 cases, 59 occurred in the 12 to 17 year old group, all but one case was attributed to Pfizer. All but one. Why? I mean, this is why I think it's very clear that there's been an effort to try to segue into Johnson Johnson, AstraZeneca are bad, and that's why the new mRNA direction, that's the safe one, right? That's what and I think this has always been somewhat part of the agenda. On May 10th, the FDA examined the emergency use authorization for Pfizer's COVID vaccine for children, for 12 to 15. On June 10th, Moderna asked the FDA to expand the emergency use to 7 to 12s as well. And they're both, as far as I understand it, pushing for full approval, despite all of this. It wasn't until Thursday's FDA meeting that the agency publicly disclosed the higher rate of what's been going on, followed up by announcement of plans to hold an emergency meeting another week later, right? So they knew about this. That's the sick part about this. The point is, they say it looks like on June 1st, right? So they know there's a problem. It's higher than expected. They keep it close to the chest while kids are still getting this, while your government are still forcing them to, injecting them, you know, coercing them to, creating situations where they feel like they have to. And then they release it and say, okay, now we're concerned. And now next week, we'll talk about that. In the meantime, keep doing it. This should make you outraged. This is unbelievably irresponsible. I think intentionally so. As Marty McCary, PMD, PhD, MPH, I'm not sure what MPH stands for, actually. I'm not going to worry about it now, but at a glance, I thought it was PhD. But in any case, more reports of kids hospitalized for myocarditis after the second vax dose. So the CDC says they're going to have an emergency meeting next week. How about tonight? Zoom works in the evening, right? I mean, they've all been screaming about Zoom meetings and why we shouldn't come together. And now they're going to hold off a week after they know there's a problem because they have to come together. There's obviously something funky here. They're buying time. Journalists need to quit the puff interviews with public health officials and politicians and demand they move faster and stop the insanity of mandating vaccines for students who already have natural immunity. This is the most important part, guys. Child vaccinations just rolled out, so likely there are many more of these complications. Israel reportedly had worse complications with child vaccinations, which your media didn't tell you about. It was terrible. We told you about it. We told you about all the things they're dealing with, including what they call breakthrough cases, thousands of them. They just keep it from your view. This is all about the fact that we know based on the scientific research that there is natural immunity and it's pretty prolific and you have it pretty much forever, if not decades, and they don't care. They're letting this happen because they don't care, because they want this to happen for some reason, the ejection. Well, as one of the FDA experts, which, by the way, is happening all over the map now, as we just talked about the Alzheimer's drug, which, by the way, I'm going to talk about probably another show. Doom shared this great link where it turns out they're saying, oh, no, COVID-19 can cause Alzheimer's. And it's like he made the joke. Oh, good thing they just authorized this dangerous Alzheimer's drug. We were just talking about why that makes sense. FDA experts are quitting because they're doing it. It shows you they don't care about the safety. Their expert panel said it doesn't even work. And they've authorized it anyway. There's clearly something going on here. But the experts in this case are also saying this, and they don't. Apparently, the FDA doesn't care about what their experts say, and all they can do when we disagree with them is say, trust the experts. I guess what they mean is themselves, not the actual experts, but the company, the government, right? Trust that. Trust the agency, the FDA, not the actual experts they employ. No, just trust the government. During an FDA meeting Thursday to discuss granting emergency use authorization for COVID vaccines under 12, several experts spoke out against the plan, saying the benefits simply don't outweigh the risks for young children. What do you know? Experts, FDA experts, are telling you the opposite. The benefits don't outweigh the risk. Well, where have you heard that before? Like every day on this show? Because you know what? You can't really know the benefits because they're still studying it, and you can't really know the risk because they're still studying it. What do you know about that? It's pretty shocking. While some advisors said it's too soon to rush the use of vaccines in pediatric population because kids are at such a low risk from the virus. You mean 0%? Yes. Most argued that it's important to have authorizations on hand should there be a resurgence. Ah, now you see where this is all going. It's just, well, we want to be able to have you under our thumb just in case. Right? So let's just go ahead and pass that. So if we ever decide in the future that we want to force this on you, well, then we can. That's crazy stuff. This is about just in case, right? Hypothetical danger that we can't prove, but we're going to lock you down for it anyway. Peter Doshi, PhD, who we've referenced a lot, and this, what's actually interesting is I think I read this earlier, like early we first talked about him, but the other day I didn't reference this. He's, in fact, the senior editor of the British Medical Journal. You know how important that is, that the senior editor of the British Medical Journal is calling out the entire scandemic here, calling out the entire illusion, telling you all the things that the trials weren't done properly and they were not designed to find things out that they're, I mean, this, it's, he's been battering this thing from the beginning. He's an associate professor at University of Maryland School of Pharmacy and a senior editor at the British Medical Journal. He said during an open public hearing session, there is no emergency that would warrant using emergency use authorization to authorize COVID vaccines for children. In terms of the benefits, Doshi said, quote, the reported 100% efficacy in Pfizer's trial was based on 16 COVID-19 cases. This, I've already told you this, in the placebo group versus none in the fully vaccinated group. But there were about 1,000 placebo recipients, so just 2% got COVID. To put that another way, to make it clear for you, 2% of the fully vaccinated avoided COVID, whereas 98% of the vaccinated wouldn't have gotten COVID anyway. This is what they're basing their 100% efficacy on. And remember, in the first case, the 95% discussion, that's based on 160 events. That's it. I've shown you this in their documentation. Anybody honest is reporting that because it's right there on their paperwork. On the other side of the ledger, Doshi said the side effects were common. Quote, 3 in 4 kids, and we've already told you this as well. Remember, we talked about how they showed you, I think it was like a 10% increase in children, and also the document that showed that adverse events were about 5 to 10% of the time. Serious adverse events. This is all from very high, this is from the people that they tell us to listen to. It's coming from governments. It's coming from the reputable agencies they tell us to look at. I've shown you it all. I document it all. I put the source material in the show notes. That's why we get censored. 3 in 4 kids had fatigue and headaches. Around half had chills and muscle pains. Now, right here, we're not even talking about that stuff. Around 1 in 4 to 5 had fever and joint pain. The list goes on. In sum, all the fully vaccinated 12 to 15-year-olds avoided symptomatic COVID, but most wouldn't have gotten COVID even without the vaccine. So the benefit is small, but it came at the price of side effects that were mild to moderate and severe and lasted in days, or lasted a few days. Now, there's much more to that. The reality of how this is fleshed out and how much more has been reported. Yes, some of lots of it unverified, but you realize the picture is beginning to flesh out. But even that alone shows you that he is telling you, the senior editor of the British Medical Journal is telling you that you should not give this to kids, that there's no benefit to them. Or at the very least, he says small and the risks clearly outweigh it. Kim Witzak, an FDA consumer representative, expressed great concerns over the premature approval of COVID vaccines for children. Witzak said, data shows children are neither in danger or dangerous. Exactly. They're not in danger and they're not in danger of spreading this thing, as the scientific research has continued to show, and questioned the timing of last Friday's CDC announcement of the rise in children being hospitalized with COVID. Quote, the media ran with it and more fear was stirred, perfectly timed in advance of this meeting. And guess what? It's already been exposed. They lied about it. We told you this in the recent show. Contagious lies. The CDC claims hospitalization rising among teens, contrary to its own data. And the simple point to make is all they did was lie with graphs, lie with data. They went like this. They showed you from this dip up to the red line and said, oh no, we're all in danger, except we were already way down here at the bottom of this graph. Despite the fact that before that, it was way higher and no one screamed back then, right? So there was a reason they wanted you to go, oh, look at this, we're spiking, children are in danger, because they wanted to push this. Because the point was to push the thing they knew we didn't want and they didn't need. The CDC, the group that's supposed to be watching out for you, but we should know by now they're not. It's incredible. And here's the full show that discusses the CDC caught lying about this. If you'd like to check it out, I'll include it in the show notes. Going forward, he says, the truth is we don't really know, or she said, we don't really know that much about, we don't really know that much about these vaccines. The safe and effective messaging is being thrown around by everyone from government officials to media, to communities, to religious leaders and Hollywood celebrities. Then you add in all the promotions like multi-million-dollar lotteries, free donuts, free shots, and local bar, and so on. This subconsciously creates the illusion that there are no downsides whatsoever, nothing to weigh or consider. This is propaganda, guys, and if the FDA consultant can see it, why can't we all? They added, we simply cannot ignore the growing evidence of harm and just accept the narrative that adverse reactions are a good thing. And that means the shot's working, right? Because this person's honest, right? This is why the FDA ignores the advice of their experts, because they don't like what they're saying, because it's not about advice, experts, or safety. Well, another doctor is telling us the AstraZeneca COVID vaccination risk for 50 to 69-year-olds, right? The people that actually you could argue need it. I would argue that nobody should take this. That's my opinion. I'm not a doctor. Vaccination risk for the people who would arguably need it is actually significantly higher. The risk for them is way higher than thought. Shocking. Who would have guessed that? The ones that, you know, seem to be getting knocked off, you know, eugenics and all. Of course, this is the article itself, but it's, you know, blocked off because that's what mainstream media does today, because they're dying. They need you to pay for them to continue. But here is a tweet that put out the link, some of the pictures we can read. A senior Australian doctor says the risk of blood clots after the AstraZeneca jab. By the way, why is this even still being used? For 50 to 69-year-olds is now 5 to 8 times higher than we thought it was 7 weeks ago. This is a senior Australian doctor. The potential benefits are outweighed by the potential harms of the AstraZeneca vaccine for all age groups up through 69 years of age. That's right. That's always the argument. Like, they'll be like, this thing will make your feet fall off, but it benefit outweighs the risk. Like, it's just so silly how they continue to just topple that on to the end of anything they tell you. But the doctors say that it hasn't been linked and the benefits outweigh the risk every time. And that's not true. It's simply not true. Here are the pictures. One of the most senior doctors wrote to the group overseeing the national vaccination rollout this week to warn the risk of developing blood clots 5 to 8 times higher than we thought 7 weeks ago. Right? The moment we thought it was causing a blood clot at all, it should have been paused. It should have been stopped, which is what they did, pretending that's what they were doing everywhere. Should have been stopped, investigated in depth, like the evidence-based medicine consultancy is arguing, right? It should have been instantly stopped, and they should have done a long-term investigation to find out if that's the case. They didn't. They put it right back in the market. Now that we're seeing it's 5 to 8 times possibly larger, this should be pulled immediately. And it should be obvious there's a problem here. Now, there's more of this you can read for yourself. Thank you for sharing that. On another note, thank you for a lot of you for sharing this with me. I'm surprised that, when I was reading this tweet that I shared about the Oracle discussion, here's the one I'm talking about. We discussed this tweet, right, on my show. And the only reason I didn't dive into like whether or not he was hurt is because my focus was on the Oracle part of it, right? And I usually want to just look it up, and I probably would have stumbled across this, obviously. In fact, I even saw comments in the comment section that said he died, and I thought, oh, well, they're just probably saying that, you know, because everyone was like, but here you go. I mean, it's almost being ridiculous that it's pretty, the creator of the CDC COVID vaccine app, the one we just talked about, right? The Oracle app that we told you is for tracking. Right, that Moncef Salawi, Whitney Webb told you has totally let us know that they're using the Oracle system in our country to track you with Google and Oracle after you get the injection, whether or not you're in a trial. Okay, that's because we're all in a trial. That's the point. Aside from that, he dies 2 months after taking his jab because his tweet member was saying, I just got my first vaccination today. Company mourns his passing from COVID-19 months later. So understand, he got both of his shots. Arguably, if he's somebody who believes in it. So within a month and a half, less, he died. So how'd he get COVID-19? He was vaccinated, right? Who cares about that? Well, we'll bend the narrative how we want to make it seem like anything happened but the injection, right? Well, here's the next one. This is from Oracle Apex. We're heartbroken to share that the person who got injected passed away from COVID-19 on May 25th. There you go. I was asking that question on the show, and there you go. I mean, I didn't even know. I just said, somebody find out for me, and there you go. He died. I mean, it's happening all over the place, guys. There is such an obvious problem with this that nobody is caring to point out other than the independent media. That's just shockingly apparent. That's why it's important that we continue to spread this out. Looks like Spiro just messaged me. Looks like we're going to have to postpone today anyway. For those watching, it looks like it's not going to happen. We'll get together at some point. I apologize for that. There's just a lot going on, you know, schedules and everything, but he just shot me a message so you guys can know, spread the word, that won't be happening today. But this is happening all across the board. We keep seeing, a lot of places, we keep seeing a lot of stars, like, it's weird though that we haven't really seen a lot of really, really mainstream, which maybe suggests that they're just not doing it. But there's a lot of people that are right on the cusp of this that just keeps brushing under the rug. The one that keeps sticking to my mind is the 25-year-old Olympian that dies of a heart attack, right? After getting the injection. And it's just so frustrating. This guy's obviously in excellent health. He's, that's what they said anyway. And the point is he's an Olympian. So it's, who knows? He could be very fit, but unhealthy. Bottom line is it's just so much of this happening and it's really upsetting. So as Seth Dillon points out, remember back when all these scientists and atheists said skepticism is good and blind faith was bad? Remember when that was like that was the only thing. If you shouldn't just blindly trust stuff because that's stupid people. That's what conspiracy theorists do, right? Why is blind faith suddenly a virtue today? Why is healthy skepticism of authoritative claims, which often turns out to be justified, now deemed harmful hesitancy or anti-science? This is just such a no-brainer statement. Like, it's such an obvious, true, valid, hypocritical contradiction. It's so obvious. What's insulting is how many people probably read this and go, yeah, that's obviously a fair point, but you're an anti-vaxxer, so shut up. You know, and it's just like, they just can't get past it. Which brings us to the point of why they don't care about everything we just showed you. All the data, all the science that they're saying, trust, they're ignoring. They're ignoring all the information that's coming out, all the real world data, everything. And now in Pakistan, in a province in Pakistan, they're going to block SIM cards of unvaccinated citizens. SIM cards. Then you have to understand, in Pakistan and other places of the world, they still predominantly use SIM card running phones where, you know, you have paid phones, you can buy different SIM cards at different times and so on. The point is that a lot of these people, like, think about right now, if they said that they were going to take your iPhone away. If you didn't get a vaccine, your iPhone was being turned off. That's what this is. These people use this. Imagine, like, let's say you need this to work. Imagine you need your SIM card and your phone to be able to do all sorts of things, drive your cab, go shop. I mean, God, there's so many things that could happen that they're just going, we don't care. We are shutting your life off because you don't get injected. This is exactly what we've been warning you about since the very beginning. The switch that can be flipped if you are in the digital gulag. Right? If you're in the technocratic panopticon, they can simply flip you off, or that sounds different, turn you off. They can flip the switch and you don't exist anymore until you do what you're told, and then suddenly you're back. And then, well, you got a social credit strike though. You can't ride the bus for a week until you show that you're a good citizen, right? This is where this is going, guys. And this is a very real world reality of everything we've warned about. This is coming to a location near you. Understand that. It'll be the next step. Assuming they don't get what they want in some other way, they are going to find a way to technologically control your life. That's what the whole Great Reset is about. We're already seeing examples of pilot test run happening in Pakistan. It's pretty alarming. In an unconventional move to tackle vaccine hesitancy, of course, because that's all it's about, right? Not true or fake news or whatever, just the fact that you don't want this thing, regardless of why or how or religious exemption, doesn't matter. The provincial government of Pakistan's Punjab has decided to block SIM cards of all the citizens who refuse to get themselves vaccinated. Don't you love that? Like, it's your choice. Like, you're refusing to have the choice to do this, and we're going to, you know, that's not getting yourself, you're being forced in there. The provincial government has been using all resources to contain the spread of COVID coronavirus in the province, said Dr. Rashid. She added that there has been a considerable decrease in COVID-19 cases in Punjab. Why? Well, because of the implementation of the max vaccination, of course. Of course. Well, according to the Army News, a report compiled by the Punjab Primary Health Department has reported that province has actually failed to achieve its set target. Well, you may go, well, Ryan, it still could just be way up there. It means it's working. Well, let's take a quick peek at what may actually be happening in Punjab. Oh, what do you know? Only 2.5% of the population is fully vaccinated. This is as of May 28th, 2021, right? So just a week ago. So 2.5% of the population. Well, then we did it. Hooray! We did it. We vaccinated enough to stop it all. 2.5% of the population, and suddenly we're seeing a dramatic, considerable decrease. This is so pathetically obvious. And all they're trying to do is take credit for what is arguably, and who knows? But you could say that this is a decrease based on seasonality. You could say that it's because natural immunity. You could say because it's not really there. You could say all sorts of things. But the point is that there's no way you can argue that decrease in this has anything to do with a small portion of the population being injected with something else that's dangerous. This just seems pretty stupidly obvious to me. But that's the truth. That's the reality. Oh, and that's the other point I'm making. We just talked about this the other day. A majority of Indians have natural immunity. That's the reality. And one of the doctors is saying vaccinating the entire population could actually cause harm because they're realizing there's a risk of the antibody dependent enhancement of pathogenic priming. But who cares about the facts and the science around it, right? Well, okay. So how can Punjab and their vaccination program be dropping it all if it's not really happening? Of course, that's what everyone's trying to do right now. Biden's doing it too. As the Pakistan government continues to spread awareness about vaccination, get this, around 300,000 recipients of the first dose, is AstraZeneca, mind you, never returned to receive the second dose. Gee, I wonder why. Maybe because they had crippling side effects and they realized if the second one's worse, I don't want this disgusting thing. Yeah, sounds logical. But here's what they say. We're categorizing such people, and realize these people are the ones being unplugged, unsim carded. These are the ones that are, you're not getting your shot. You're not coming back. Well, you're getting screwed over. We're categorizing these people. There is a possibility that some of them might have died before getting it. Okay. Well, that's great. Right. So first of all, remember, the majority of the country has natural immunity, which, remember, we'll show you in a second, means that they're clearly, they shouldn't have this happening at all. So that's probably not what's going on. And even if it is, doesn't that seem to suggest that they're in danger after that? It's just such a funny, they might have just died before. Another group, which has been identified, consists of those who contracted COVID-19 after receiving their first dose. So again, showing you that, see, Biden's over here saying, just get one, you're good. Right? Even though they screamed that wasn't supposed to happen before. Why? Because they're desperate to get this in your arm. Well, here they are saying, well, they got one dose if Biden's saying is good enough, but apparently it wasn't because they got it afterward, or could at least, you know, whatever we can do to say that this is, it's not that they don't want it. It's like they're stepping on all their lies and all their missed narratives from before, and then decided not to get the second dose. But it says others might have fallen into the negative propaganda and skipped the vaccination. Weird how they left out the possibility that they just didn't want it. Right? Oh, that's the back propaganda. Maybe they, it's not that they felt that their arm was going to explode and their head was going to fall off and that they're, you know, like feeling wise and that they were throwing up and couldn't leave their bed for 3 days or a week or a month. And that's why. No, it's that they watched something on YouTube and said, I don't like this because vaccine haters, right? It's so stupid. But they're lying to you. They're blocking SIM cards. They're technologically deleting people of the existence of, I don't know. I mean, everything. What's the right word for that? The internet? However you want to look at this? They're just completely unplugging you from everything because you don't want something that you don't need. It's all over the place, by the way. You can look this up. There's all, most of the media is talking about this over in this area, specifically Punjab, but in India in general. 2.5 population. That's it. 2.5% has been fully vaccinated. Now, again, majority of Indians have natural immunity. That's the very relevant point. And even more specifically, in the capital, Delhi, more than half the population of India's capital city has, in fact, got natural immunity. So it's not just Punjab. It's not just 56% have antibodies. This is generally the case in India. And that's my point. Oh, this actually shouldn't have been in this. I'll just quickly talk about this. Remember, we're talking about the natural immunity. I wanted to slip this in somewhere. I should have moved this. But the point on top of all of it is that the vaccine not only gives natural immunity, or not only does can you have natural immunity from engagement with this in the real world, according to their own narrative. But here's a discussion of two passengers on the first fully vaccinated cruise, meaning every single person was checked and rechecked and triple checked to have all of it on the U.S. to Caribbean. They test positive for COVID-19. Well, isn't that telling? On the celebrity millennium guests, right? Maybe it's just to scare a bunch of celebrities into thinking it's all still happening. Who knows? But the point is, they say their two guests sharing a stateroom tested positive for COVID while conducting a required end of cruise testing. So why would that even be necessary, right? So you go in, everyone's tested. You're in the middle of the sea, you're middle of the ocean, and you're getting off, and they go, we'll test you again. Where did you catch it then? Right? But the individuals are asymptomatic, they say, and currently in isolation and being monitored by our medical team. You remember, asymptomatic, which basically doesn't exist based on all the scientific research. 10 million people studied, only 300 of them were asymptomatic and zero of them were transmissible. And currently in isolation being monitored, we are conducting contact tracing expedited, which means everyone on the ship is now contact traced. Your information is being tracked. People you know are being tracked. That's how that works. Expediting testing for all close contacts and closely monitoring the situation. Close contacts being everyone on the ship. If you're on there for a week, let's not pretend like every person crossed paths with somebody else. That's all the ship. All these celebrities now are contact traced. They're all being told you're at risk. Bottom line is no symptoms. So either this means, this is one of two ways. Either the story is showing you the PCR test illusion, which you have a completely triple checked cruise with nobody having, so you all got your vaccines and your passports and everything, and somebody still gets tested positive, showing you the PCR test will always do that. Or it shows you the vaccine, as we also know, both these things are true, does not stop transmission. So you can get it and you can still spread it. What about on top of that? How about the 13 million people in this country? They told us will not create antibodies because they're taking certain kinds of drugs or because they have autoimmune disease. There's all sort of things they've already told us that the majority of those people will likely not produce antibodies because of the problems. That's 13 million people. So that person could have been tested and said, hey, I don't have it. Here's my passport. You go on. Doesn't matter. Now, I understand what we're talking. Anyway, the point is, this is showing you the illusion in a bunch of different ways. It's everywhere. So if you have natural immunity in general, and most of the population already does based on the scientific research, regardless of whether you had it, and this thing can't be stopped or will still spread according to their narrative with or without it, why are we even talking about this? As Michael Krager points out about the same point, how common is it for people who have natural immunity? The thing they don't want to talk about. To COVID, via a prior infection to get it again. How common is that? I don't hear any about such cases often or ever, right? Why? Because one, it's not happening. Two, because they don't want to talk about natural immunity, but all they want to talk about is everything that can connect back to the vaccine and why it's necessary. But here's the other big story today, which is that the mainstream is now admitting yet another thing that we've been saying from the beginning, slowly rolling this story back in every possible way, which means they're a bunch of criminals and a bunch of propagandist liars or really, really, really bad journalists. MedPage Today. Quit ignoring natural COVID immunity. Oh, you mean like what we said and got censored for? How funny. Epidemiologists estimate, and what's funny, they said, well, let me finish the sentence. Epidemiologists estimate over 160 million people worldwide have recovered from COVID-19. Those who have recovered have an astonishingly low frequency of repeat infection, disease, or death. That immunity from prior infection protects many people now where vaccines are not yet available. So we know this. Where are the epidemiologists estimating this? Why isn't CNN Fox News talking about that? Because they have a mandate. They know what they're supposed to say and what they're not supposed to say. They don't want you even thinking about natural immunity because that creates vaccine hesitancy. You see where it's going? Now it says that immunity from prior infection protects many people where they don't have vaccinations yet. Earlier this month, the WHO released a scientific update, which we'll talk about next. A scientific update stating that most people who have recovered from COVID-19 develop a strong protective immune response. The WHO of all places releases a huge thing that says most people who recover are probably good and they don't talk about it. I thought we were supposed to trust the WHO, right? Funny how the narrative flip-flops all the time, right? It's because they don't want you thinking about this, guys. It's so obvious. The reality is, if you're out there, you probably had this without knowing it. If this is in working within their narrative still, this is what they're saying, and you probably have natural immunity based on multiple scientific studies. Now, this is the one we're going to get to in a second as well that says that you have it even if you are infected because of other things. That's another scientific study that's been done, a huge one. No one's talking about it. What the WHO is telling you, it says, importantly, they summarize that within 4 weeks of infection, 90 to 99% of people who recover from COVID-19 develop detectable neutralizing antibodies, up to 99%. And no, I'm not saying we should trust the WHO or even take them seriously at this point. But why we're talking about it is because when the WHO says something this huge that challenges the mainstream narrative and they don't do anything about it, whether it's true or not, it shows you the breakdown of their narrative control, that they're challenging them right now, and understand that what they're saying is we don't need the vaccine, and that's not supposed to be something you say right now. Now it says, furthermore, they conclude, given the limited amount of time to observe cases, that the immune response remains strong for at least 6 to 8 months after infection. But it's more than that based on the study we're going to show next. This update, or at least it could be, this update echoes what, guess what? The NIH reported in January 2021. Why did nobody else talk about that? I've been screaming about this forever. Funny how it's fake news up until the mainstream's allowed to talk about it. How great is that? And it's the immune response of more than 95% of people who recovered from COVID-19 had durable memories of the virus up to 8 months after infection. The NIH went further to state that these findings, quote, provide hope that people who get vaccinated will develop similar lasting immunity, which is ridiculous. That's what I said when I first read that. So because COVID-19 creates lasting immunity, why would you then translate that over to some other technology that's producing the spike protein that's actually hurting people and say that, well, that probably does it too? No, that's completely yet to be seen. And actually what we're seeing is that it's not happening. And many different ways I've already listed off. But so this is MedPage Today telling you quite clearly that WHO is telling you that you have natural immunity if you've had this. Potentially 99% of people. And since we know that a lot of people in this country have, based on their narrative anyway, they don't need the vaccine, guys. Pretty simple. Here's their scientific brief. May 10th, a month ago, Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, CBC, where are you? Is this not valid reportable information? Within 4 weeks following infection, 90 to 99% of individuals infected with SARS-CoV-2 virus developed detectable neutralizing antibodies. The scientific brief replaces, this is interesting, the WHO scientific brief entitled, quote, immunity passports in the context of COVID-19. SARS-CoV immunity from natural infection. So they have literally just replaced the concept of immunity passports on their website, even though they've already, and the point was they already said this is something we shouldn't be doing necessarily. They've just replaced it now with something that tells you you've got natural immunity. That's a big deal. Here's what it says down here, conclusions. Current evidence points to most individuals. That's important. Most. Not half, not some, most individuals developing strong protective immune responses following natural immunity with SARS-CoV-2. What do you know about that? Oh, strange, I said to the Medscape. Exactly what I have been telling you since the beginning of the year and been censored for. They even cite the exact same sources. So why force the experimental, unapproved injection? We are truly in a COVID clown world. Again, I'll include this for you so you can share this with them. There's plenty more than just this. I've shown you more. This is the most prominent because people that see it on the National Institute of Health, people that trust the narrative blindly will think it's gospel truth because it's been stated on the NIH. But this is the most important part to the end that little part with, because what this is showing you, well, actually first, just to reiterate this, May 27, 2021, had COVID, you probably make antibodies for a lifetime. This is before technically this was the WHO first, right? Then this comes out and they're telling you for a lifetime. Clearly, if you've been infected, you probably make antibodies against this for a lifetime. What they're telling you is have it in your bone marrow cells, antibodies for decades. Why aren't they talking about this? Same question, right? But this is the point that brings it into a much larger reality that what they're trying to tell you here is that the majority of uninfected adults, so people out there that have never had this before, who long before COVID-19 ever became the news discussion, you have pre-existing antibodies. Now, is that because it was circulating in the U.S. United States before, which is a very, very logical thing to discuss regarding the clearly discussed biosafety leak at Fort Detrick that was shut down for national security in 2019, right before all this all started, or the nursing home outbreaks that happened that they said with the ground glass opacity in the lungs that's upwards of 67% of people who have COVID have, that they just said was the common cold, or on the other side, they had the vaping illness that was never tied to vaping that they said was something else that turned out to also have ground glass opacity, right? I mean, it's obvious there was something going on, or the fact that Japan and Canada and Spain and Taiwan and many others said that they found evidence of COVID-19 circulating long before before it was seen in China. In fact, way back in the middle of 2019, if not some of them saying all the way back in 2013. All this has been discussed. It's all scientific studies you can look at. And yet all we can do is pretend we know where it started and we know all of this. But the bottom line is it could be that, or it could be the common cold, which the people have already discussed in the beginning of this. Sometimes they showed you the cold could actually cause people to have antibodies because it's a coronavirus as well. Whatever the reason, guys, read this for yourself. The reality is the majority of uninfected people have already showing pre-existing antibodies. So if the majority of Americans already have antibodies against COVID-19, and those antibodies last potentially for the rest of your life, and NIH is even telling you that it's very lasting, and the WHO is telling you that it's very lasting, why are we even talking about an injection? Especially one that has, or especially for a problem that they claim is very dangerous, yet seems to have a collective risk of about 0.14%. And if you're under 25, it's 0.01. And most people are pretty much non-existent risk for this thing. Why? It's a very easy thing to realize that there's a problem here if you're just seeing all the information, which most people aren't. And here's the saddest part. This is prolific right now. All the stuff we just showed you should be in everybody's faces. The risk of antibody-dependent enhancement, the risk of everything we've discussed, the potential for blood clots, the fact that they're hiding information from you, the fact that we don't even need this thing. Like, what, you know what they should, if they cared about the science, they would be giving an antibody test to everybody before they give the injection to see if they even need it, but they don't care. I hope that none of you are faced with this. This is a nurse speaking out. I'm a nurse practitioner of over 20 years. I've been realistic about COVID. I'm now faced with the decision of taking a largely unstudied drug or losing my career. Now, understand that whether that's even, I agree with him, but whether that's just his opinion, he's wrong. It doesn't matter. He's a nurse who's using his education as a nurse to make an educated decision about his own body and deciding he doesn't want to do this and losing his career if he decides not to. He said, there's your freedom. F this country, F this society. Right? There's a very real reason to feel that disenfranchised. Because the very thing that you believe in or thought you did, the people that you thought were your friends, the group that you thought cared about you, the institution that you thought cared about everybody is showing its true colors and saying that we only care about the agenda. And you're going to lose your job if you don't take an experimental, unapproved injection that is showing to be dangerous all around the world. As he says, there's your freedom for you. Because people are scared. Palmer Report here. Very big. This is a very big sports reporting outlet. Political and I get political analysis and ahead of the curve. It's, you know, maybe that's funny. Wait a minute. Maybe I'm remembering incorrectly. Well, let's just say what it says there. Political analyst ahead of the curve. I was under the impression actually it was a sports thing. I thought there was a Palmer or something with sports, but who cares? The Palmer Report, political analyst, is coming out very strong with their check mark, their blue checked account, and saying Sam Darnold needs to be suspended from the NFL without pay until he gets vaccinated for COVID. Simple as that. Right. So this guy believes that he knows best and he's calling for the community to cancel this person who probably has a family and things to, you know, where whether or not rich or not, who cares? You're influencing his life livelihood, potentially destroying it because he has a personal choice about his medical freedom. Hashtag boycott the Palmer Report and whoever the hell this person is running this account, this person should be the one that is attacked. I don't mean physically, obviously. I mean online, because what we're dealing with is a disgusting reality where these people feel that they're protected enough to come out and literally call out somebody personally for making a choice that my body, my choice, you simple hypocrite. This isn't some personal choice, it says, that only impacts him. Yes, that is the case. You ignorant person. We're all trying to keep a deadly pandemic from making a comeback and kill. Yeah. Bought and sold, completely lost in the propaganda. Makes me sick. And you know what's probably going to happen? Sam is probably going to lose his job if he doesn't decide to give in and take an experimental, dangerous injection that's unapproved by our own government that says it's safe, even though it's not approved. And that simply by definition means that it's not proven to be safe. I have a whole show plan that I didn't do today about specifically going over that again, the emergency use authorization, specifically what unapproved drugs mean and whether they have a legal right to force them and why it's legally not okay for them to do it. I'm going to go over all that in a future show. The point is that this is not true. That's simply not how this works. And the reality is that this is there's a huge picture here that they're keeping from your view, and they're forcing this on people they shouldn't have the right to force it on. And the fact is that they pretend they can, they feel like they can because they're insulated by this massive groupthink momentum that will dissipate because I'm not going to stop fighting. Support Sam. That's ridiculous. On top of that, as this is happening, as people like this disgusting hypocrite is forcing people to do this because he thinks he can, he or she, I mean, who knows? Guess what Human MD PhD points out? Oh, look, federal employees are not required to be vaccinated. Look at that. Nor can anyone ask them if they've been vaccinated. Oh, that's great. So they're creating the context or the infrastructure, whether it's by government mandate or employee or business mandate, to force you to do this thing and force you to have to reveal that to everybody, but not in the government, not their own people. I wonder why that would be. Maybe because they don't want the spike protein spreading around their offices, or who knows? Remember back when Pokemon Go was a big thing and everybody came out and it turned out that it was very clearly a 3D mapping thing for intelligence. I mean, that wasn't a secret, guys. It was pretty obvious. And you know what showed that very clearly is every one of them, including the Pentagon, said, that's not allowed inside here. Because it's mapping everything around you. That was a way to map inside your homes and all the nooks and crannies that they didn't get to. It was completely uncovered. And the reality is that's what you're seeing here. Whatever it means, I'm not pretending to know what their meaning, their logic is. I think I know, but they're telling you that they don't want their employees and people around the government being injected, or at the very least being forced to, or having to admit it, which will probably create the situation where none of them do it, because it seems like most people are aware this is dangerous. 60% of nurses say no, wake up to the reality. Here's the actual article. Here's the question. Should agencies in the government, this is on safefederalworkforce.gov, should agencies require employees to be vaccinated or inquire regarding their vaccine status? Well, you know what they think about you. They're screaming about how you have no choice because, as Palmer Report puts it, it's not a personal choice because we're all in danger and I'm a scared child and so you do things for my safety, right? That's what they're saying. Basically, we don't care about your freedoms because I'm scared. right? That's what that comes down to. Unjustly, by the way, based on something that he's not even in, they're not at risk from. COVID-19 vaccination should generally not be a precondition for employees or contractors at executive departments and agencies. Of course, and they even specifically say executive, so like around the White House and around executive branches, to work in person in federal buildings, on federal lands, and in other settings as required by job duties. Federal employees and contractors may voluntarily share information about their vaccination status, but agencies should not require federal employees or contractors to disclose such information. Wasn't that great? They clearly care about your freedoms. No. They care about controlling themselves and keeping themselves at a distance and at arm's length from whatever the hell is going on right now. This is just unreal. It's very clear. At the very least, guys, it should make you angry that they're creating a situation where you're being forced into something that you don't want, in a situation where it violates your constitutional rights, and then they turn around and don't do the same. Like, if this was all being done under the argument that it has to be done this way because we're all in danger, which is what they're saying, how does it even make sense to not do that for a huge portion of the population who works at the government? It doesn't. The same way it doesn't make sense to stop reporting breakthrough cases after the vaccine unless they've been hospitalized or dead, because they're claiming it's concerning on the other side. So why would it not be on the other? Because they're trying to control the picture. Every piece of this is in front of you. It's just about whether you care enough to look at it and think about it. They're deceiving you. They're doing something nefarious right now, and it's very clear. The scientific research is all there for you to look at. It's all there, and they just don't want you to see it. That's why the media is not talking about it. Now, to finish, as I totally expected, June 21st, unlocking called off. You know, Freedom Day. We're postponing your Freedom Day. Isn't that just a perfect little analogy for where we are in the world right now? Oh, it's okay. You're in danger. So we're going to put off your freedom. Just a little bit, though. This doesn't end, people. As Philip says, hospitalizations are on the floor, along with deaths. And with all the vulnerable vaccinated, this is not about a virus. There will always be variants in this decision just after the G7. Exactly. June 21st, unlocking called off. Pretty sick. They're just going, too bad. I know we used that carrot to get you to this point. Now we're going to put it off and hit you with the stick again. Keep going. Keep moving. Well, here's Germany. Breaking news in Germany. This is a big deal, actually. German hospitals lied. They lied about ICU availability. Why? To get more money. They'd never do that. Remember when Jensen came out and said that they were using Dr. Jensen came out and said they were, and this is completely verifiable. It's 100% true. They were signing different death certificates with COVID versus other things because COVID was thousands of dollars more for the hospital. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that they were lying. I do think that's the case in many places, but that they were going, well, he had COVID. We can't prove it, but let's just put COVID because we get $4,000 more, right? He exposed that story and he got fired, attacked, disparaged, and he still is, even though he was right and proven to be so. And all they could say was, they'd never do that. These doctors care about you. They'd never do the money. Obviously, it's very clear that people will try to play that card in every section. Oh, you mean that the white glove coat? They never lie. The politicians, they never lie. The doctor, they're always on your side. It's not true. There's plenty of good ones in any situation, but there is a lot of just, we're all human beings capable of extreme good and extreme evil, guys. And it's about our choices we make. And they will be coerced, manipulated, or choose to do so. It happens everywhere. Realize if you're in a snake, if you're in a, you know, whatever, lion's den, snake pit, whatever, you're in a situation where everyone around you is going to be trying to get you in a, you know, they will end up forcing you to do a certain thing, compromise you, whatever. So at the end of the day, when you have a situation like this, it's not hard to understand. It could be profit. It could be because they were attacked. It could be because they're threatened. At the end of the day, the reality is they lied about what was really going on to make more money. What did Chancellor Angela Merkel's government know, and why did they allow it? No USA coverage as of yet. But this was on 11th yesterday, so who knows? But of course, they get caught lying about how dangerous it is. And oh, well, okay, go ahead. Then we're going to lift the travel ban. I'm not saying that's why, but it's kind of funny timing that that's what happens. This big story comes out, they're lying about the whole thing, and then they pull back the travel ban. Update, Germany will lift this pandemic travel warning for most countries July 1st. You know, almost like, we'll give you something so you don't get up mad at us. But if we're doing all this stuff and rolling these things back, how is it still an emergency? That's the point. It's not. And now it hasn't been for a long time, if ever. And yet they're going, variant, we don't know, possible danger. You're all on lockdown forever. The reality is, it's never going away, guys. Chinese researchers find new coronavirus in bats. This is June. This is today. Not another confirmation, but new. I don't even know why we'd believe this. I don't know why we'd trust anything we're hearing from the Chinese or U.S. governments. But the point is, it's just a new thing, a new coronavirus that who knows, right? That's where it's going. Here we go again. This will never end, as James Corbett said, until we end it. There's no reason to trust what the Chinese government says. There's no reason to trust what the U.S. government says. There are incorrect claims, even in this very article. We are being played. It's time to admit that. Now, in the article, of course, they discuss the, what was it? Last point, and this is the end of the show here, guys. I think it was right here. Oh, that's right, actually. The simple point that they're saying that this started there. The first case of infection was reported in Wuhan City. Now, that's just not true. It has been shown unequivocally to not be the case. I'm not talking about all the, places like Spain and Italy. They have very, very, very clearly shown cases back in the middle of 2019. Not a hypothetical that we showed. Here's a case. We proved it right there in March 2019 or whatever. It's all out there. It's open discussion, but they just ignore it because they challenges the narrative they need to desperately hold on to. That's why the lab leak has been shoved back in our face, because it's not really the full story. There's more happening here, and they're keeping it from your view. And I think I've covered this 100 times over. And if you want to look into more information about Fort Detrick in the past in that regard, it's very clear. One leak every 3 days for 7 years. Admitted by the CDC. They work on coronaviruses, Ebola, all sorts of things. But we can't consider that they have a leak right before this. That might be the case. I'm not saying we can prove that. But why is it not even being discussed? Plenty more happening here. I think China and the U.S. are working in tangent together, working together to make this, there's obvious, very, the real world evidence from the beginning to where we are now has shown that every possible way that they're working together. The crossover is still there. They're still doing current research in China. I mean, I even just recently saw, I'll talk about this in the next show, somebody sent me a new study that was worked on back in 2019, I believe, but recently put forward. And it's Charles Lieber's research with somebody in China. Isn't that, how is that? This is a guy, and his name is still on there, that's apparently a criminal, you know, treasonous. And it's already, there's something obviously wrong here. And at the end of the day, the evidence is all there. I mean, it is across the board. Everything we just showed you, all the scientific research, the scientific documentation that makes it undeniable. And they just pretend it's not there. That's why I need your help every time to help us get this out there, to help us get this out on other YouTube. I mean, post this anywhere you want. Take this content, put it everywhere. Post it on every possible thing you possibly can. Clip it out. Make small clips that you think are the important parts. Put it on Twitter. Tag me in it. Get it out there. I need help with that, right? I mean, I got Brock helping with the clips a few a week, but there's just not time for it. So I need you guys to help me continue to get the information out. The clips would help. I got Star's going to be doing that as well, setting up an account that we can then share them on, right? So, but help me do this. Tag me in anything, tag Star, get us out there with little clips of important things, the little 2 minute parts or 1 minute parts of what's most important, and tag the main show in it. Keep this going. Keep pushing the information out, guys. It's not going to stop. That's the point. Even if we win this part of what we're dealing with, it's never going to stop. They will always keep trying to do this. So it's just about keeping your head on straight, showing discernment, asking questions, and not trusting the government. I mean, it's just, what's funny is that's like a derogatory thing today. No, that our country was founded on the concept of not trusting the government. It's amazing how far we've lost. Anyway, thank you all for being here. I love you all. Question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Struggles we made. Beg you listen, my claim. See the struggles we've been. Nobody don't care. I'm stuck in my house. Hey, no kind of fear. What the hell are you doing to this woman?
TV, everybody is fighting, they're fighting. Can't you see they're dividing, dividing us? that prefers to hear us canceling each other. They want to see us die, they want to see us die. Fear-mongering that is trending, 1984 them defending, global reset and new life pending, better wake up and stop from sleeping. Remember the FEMA campus they're waiting, who know what I take them indoctrination, no re-education, no depopulation.
Everything I've seen in the last 9 days, all the things that just don't make sense, the patients I'm seeing in front of me, the lungs I'm trying to improve, have led me to believe that COVID-19 is not this disease, and that we are operating under a medical paradigm that is untrue.
It's time to unite, get up and fight. Oh, it's time to unite. Yes, it's time to fight. Revolution will be televised. In a time for go away from the guys. Now each now waste no time. Chinese now get left behind. Never move to the right to the right.
Where's the grave concern if you're going to be injected with these same proteins? Not a single, to my knowledge, not a single vaccine manufacturer took heed of my warning to remove those unsafe epitopes from the vaccines before they formulated their vaccines, in spite of being emailed.
Hold on a minute, don't take her away! Hey, don't take her away!
Stand for nothing, your father, everything.
It's the message.